May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Few Sundays ago, during the holiday club service, one of my favorite songs was played here and we all danced. And for some of you who were in that service, you will recall seeing us using the choir box for a gym. At the end of the service, I thought some people left sweating. Not only those who danced, but those who watched those who danced. And it was this song, "What Do You Do When You Fall Down? And What Do You Do When You Stumble? Will you sit down on the ground or get back on your feet again? Stronger, you'll be stronger, stronger. Anytime you get back, anytime you get back up." And because we have communion elements here, I'm not going to ask the elders in the choir box to dance. But it's one of those great songs. What do you do when you fall down? As part of our ongoing sermon series on the miracles of Jesus, our gospel reading this morning is about a royal official, a very important person in the society. The reading shows his response to the situation he found himself. His son was sick and was close to death. The story also shows what Jesus did about it. We are not told the nature of the illness, what the illness was all about. But it appears that the sickness was potentially incurable. The official was in authority and good social standing. He had all the powers around him, but he had a major crisis in his life. You see, problems are no respecter of means. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can also buy a bed, but it may not buy a good night's sleep. The official had undoubtedly heard about Jesus, and so he came to where Jesus was. And in desperation, he said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Now, you notice that this man did not say, "Come down or else my son will die." Indeed, he clearly expected his boy, his son, to die from the illness. But in response, Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." And John writes that the man believed the word which Jesus spoke to him and started off. On his way home, his servants met him and broke the happy news that his son was alive. Then he asked at what time he started feeling better. And they say it was about 1 p.m., the seventh hour. And so the man looked at his time and quickly recognized that it was at the exact time that Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." John writes, "And he himself believed, and his whole household. He then trusted Jesus and understood who he was and what that meant for his own life." In Ecclesiastes, where Joe read to us, Solomon admonishes that in the midst of life, using the king as a figure, we should trust that God is in control of those things we don't understand. And in life, there are so many things we don't understand. The more you think you understand, the more you realize how ignorant you are. There are so many things around us we don't understand. And that really makes us human and makes God, God. And so we need to trust God. To trust God requires humility and wisdom. It means accepting our vulnerability, our inabilities. God wants us to stop trying to figure this life out. He just wants us to be humble, to humble ourselves and submit to Him. Because He knows the end from the beginning. Life's losses leave us hurting and wondering. Divorce strikes a happy home. Financial ruin devastates retirement plans. A child goes to jail, is killed, or commits suicide. The loss of people who are very dear to our hearts. In fact, the list is quite endless. Such times raise questions which are difficult, if not impossible, to answer. When we face situations like this, we examine the circumstances again and again, and sometimes we turn the spotlight on ourselves, on others, and even on God. And we wonder what could or should have been done differently that might have prevented the situation from occurring in the first place. When answers don't seem forthcoming and the heavens appear silent, what should we do? What do we do when it appears as though we are speaking to the air and nobody is listening to us? At that point, we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. To trust in God means answering our fears with God's promises and with the knowledge that God loves us. It means responding so that when danger or fear knocks on our door, we open and answer with God's promises. We open the door with the knowledge that we are loved eternally by God, that He cares about us. To trust in God means believing God enough to find contentment in His will and His word, no matter how painful or troubling we may find life to be. That is trust. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, may our hunger for it reflect the faith that here is forgiveness, no matter what our past may have been. And that Christ is present, not just in the past, but that Christ is present even here at this very moment to transform us and to give us eternal life. May we come to the Lord's table this morning, leaning on God and trusting in Him, and not on our own wisdom, not on our own strength, and not on our own understanding. Amen.